Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raza Riffs with Keith Raza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey Rifters, Keith here. This episode of Raza Riffs is brought to you by New Hope Therapy Center. New Hope Therapy Center is a therapy center that specializes in speech apraxia with kids with autism. Does your child suffer from autism? I don't think that suffer's a good word, but whatever. Does your child suffer from autism that just wants to speak out and tell you how they see the world? Is your child nonverbal and you want to see and you want to hear their beautiful voice? Well, New Hope Therapy Center can help. They have trained professionals that specialize in with kids that and specialize with kids that can help your autistic spectrum disorder and adult neglias like stroke or brain injury and could help them speak. If you guys follow my career in any way, you know that I have autism and that my dream has to always be a stand-up comedian and make people laugh. Your child could have the same dream, for a dream is a world within a reach. Children especially should not be limited by their disabilities. We should learn how to change the environment to fit the child's needs to see their true potentials, and New Hope Center can help. If you're in the Westminster, California area, and if you are interested for more information, please email contacts at newhopetherapycenter.com. Again, that's contacts at newhopetherapycenter.com. Now back to the show. Excellent. I messed up the sponsor just like Alan Lee said.
No, you did not. I thought it was wonderful. I'm ready to go. It's good. Thank you for having this.
It threw me off because I knew they didn't mean suffering and a bad thing, but like when I read stuff, probably read stuff before.
You have autism.
Yeah, I do.
So there was.
Yeah, but
how genuine could you be? You know, he has autism.
Wait, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, I didn't say anything, but I was like,
he got very quiet. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to help.
How genuine is it that you screwed up?
Yeah,
you have autism. That's basically what he was saying.
I'm just saying. The sincerity is overwhelming. The sincerity was overwhelming, and I'm glad.
It's not like I purposely meant to screw up.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't think you screwed up. I think it was kind of funny.
Don't you think?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, personally. I don't think suffer would be the right kind of word. I thought that was really funny. I don't think that. I thought you did that on purpose. Yeah, I didn't think it was a mistake.
No, that was just me thinking out loud.
There you go. I like that.
And then you.
I'm trying to help you.
He's trying to help you.
I should probably introduce our guest.
I would.
You don't have to. This is fun.
They hear this voice back here. They say, "Who is that?" Three hosts, no guest.
It's Optimus Prime.
In the background.
There you go. Okay.
Our guest tonight on Raza Riffs is the very funny, talented stand-up comedian. He was on the Rolling Stone cover, Comedy Central. Our guest is Nimur. Did I say it right?
You nailed it.
I nailed it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That was impressive.
Boom. And this fucker said I was going to fuck up the sponsors.
Nimur Nesser.
It's Nimur.
Yeah. Oh.
I messed it up already.
It's Nimur. See, I'm the one who has a problem. And I don't want to talk about it.
No, my name is a problem. Personal. Trust me, everybody. It's a difficult name. No. Nobody gets it because it's spelled N-E-M-R.
Yeah.
Which for, I've had these pronunciations. Yeah. I've had Nimur, 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 and then in England, this is the best one. Nemra, which I still don't know how that came. That's the one. I can understand all the rest. Nimur, Nimur, all that stuff. That's fine. But Nemra?
Nemra kind of stands out, though.
It does, though.
Yeah.
Like Nemra.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
Very good. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again.
So
there's a lot of. We're all very grateful.
Thank you. So grateful. Believe me.
I just want to say to our sponsors, New Hope Therapy Center. I was not being sarcastic. No. I just was confused by what I was saying.
Thank you.
But honestly, I think what you said was actually very smart, poignant at the time. I don't know if suffering is the right word. Maybe to some parents it could be considered suffering, but to the kids. Yeah. Is it really suffering, or is it just a different state?
Well, to me, sometimes I suffer with it because, I can't see social cues and stuff, and it's very sad and stuff. But I don't know if I'd use suffering as a But maybe that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely that's even a topic for debate. No, yeah, I wouldn't know.
So maybe they meant it in a good way. I'm sure they did.
No, of course they did. Sure. I mean, anytime somebody sees somebody as potentially having a disadvantage, and the disadvantage being like missing social cues might hurt your ability to integrate to get a job
and get sponsors.
Mm-hmm. And get sponsors. you suffer.
Yeah, that's suffering. That's
and
suffering.
Now we know why the word suffering was used
big time.
Suffer.
I just wanted to make that clear. I love you guys, and I got nothing but love for you. And you know, it was Alan Lee's fault because he got that.
I take it. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm the default.
Oh, but Namir.
But no, I got a story about Namir.
Go ahead.
It's Nimmer.
Nimmer.
You guys are so close. It's so far.
Yeah, but you see what he does. Nimmer.
Look, let me give you a good way to remember it. It's like simmer, but hotter.
Hotter.
Nimmer.
Nimmer.
Nimmer. There you go.
Nimmer, do you see what he does? I say it right, then he says it wrong, and then he says he like has this
Nimmer.
Magneto He's Professor X.
You're suffering from him.
I'm a super villain now. Imagine.
I'm suffering from Alan Lee.
There you go.
I've been diagnosed with Alan Lee.
Yeah, he puts all these things, and I agree with him because he's cool. You know, I mean, look at that mustache, man.
This is new. It's an inspiration from all the cultural things that are going on.
It's a nice mustache, though.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like that you didn't let it go the whole way. No, I'm not making fun.
No. Thank you. I'm serious. I'm listening. I'm taking.
Yeah, no. I like that you didn't take it the whole way. I like where you stopped it. It looks very. I've been trying to put the. What's because the word I've been looking for? It looks very. Dashing.
Oh,
dashing.
That's the word.
Mom.
That's
a great word.
You know what? Mother listens. She will listen to this episode.
I'm
Your son looks very dashing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Very dashing.
Thank you.
I'm glad I'm glad. I agree with Nimmer because I'm glad you. Did I say it right there?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Nimmer, we got it. Oh,
I'm scared he's using his powers on me.
Please, God, my.
But I'm glad. Did you expect this, Nimmer?
This is one of the best podcasts I've been on. This is great. Damn. I'm having a lot of fun with you guys.
Yeah.
I haven't even done your introduction.
That's fine. Nobody cares.
But
they just want to laugh.
There you go.
Yeah. He wasn't funny, but he was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. That's never going to happen. Nobody cares.
But I am glad that Alan Lee stopped right there because I think if you want to win all the way... You know, it would have been like too scary looking.
Like a kung fu, I mean like Fu Manchu.
Or Hitler-ish.
Fu Manchu.
Oh, please.
Fu Manchu, that's so funny. I haven't heard that in so long.
Thank you. I'm a comic book cartoon.
Fu Manchu. I haven't heard, wow.
Yeah.
What's
high five, man.
Bam, you know the villain, you know the completely demonized.
But I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah.
That's a reference I'm going to take with me to stage, see how it works.
Wonderful.
What's Fu Manchu?
See, he deceased a child. Fu Manchu, but you are. You're a child. You
What's that supposed to mean?
How old are you?
He's a baby.
I'm turning 30.
Oh, that's not a baby.
Yeah
but that's I don't think you're generation. I don't think they.
I'm 33.
Oh, are you really?
Well, yeah, we're the same generation.
No, it's a boy. Well,
you don't look 33.
You knew Fu Manchu? I don't.
I mean that in a compliment.
No, no. Oh, yeah. No, I'm from the Middle East. We age quicker.
No.
There are bombs falling. No, you just. If I shave the beard, I look like I'm 25.
But you admit, how many people know?
Very few.
Thank you.
Very few.
Very few people know.
Only sophisticated,
dashing,
charming young men. I know about poop. Okay, I'm not interrupting. I'm sorry.
No.
We're having fun.
No, we're having a blast.
That's the whole point of life.
Yeah. Professor X.
Throwing in your reference. Sci-fi.
Call back. This is a... comedy experience beyond comprehension.
This is so weird because like when I booked you, they were like, what kind of questions are you going to be asking them? I was like, you just get Twitter questions, but we just riffed.
Yeah. I mean,
which is what we're doing.
Like,
we're
just
completely unrehearsed.
Yeah,
I mean, we're in the world of comedy. I don't think being rehearsed is a good thing.
I don't know.
Oh, no, not at all.
That's not a crutch I'd ever want to fall on.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
We don't need a crutch to fall on.
No, that would hurt.
No, but
depending on which direction the crutch is.
Ah, you beat me to the punch.
If it was upright or upside down.
No, but we're writing material with Nimir.
Nimir.
Oh my god! I'm so bad. Oh my god! You know, we talked.
No, for me, I'm just loving it because it's hilarious. Nimir. You don't have to apologize.
Okay. I can't believe that happened.
It's Nimir, right?
No, Nimir.
Nimir. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then you said Nimir.
Yeah, he messed up.
You know what?
He's suffering.
You know what? I practiced that so hard that it's just such a fuck up.
Oh, man.
Nimmer.
You know what? Just call me Maria. I was just making it easier for everyone.
Nimmer. Yeah.
Or they'll take my sister's name, Maria.
Oh. All right.
Fantastic.
Professor.
Yes, sir.
Zip it.
I'm quiet now.
Stop playing with your mind games.
I'm having so much fun.
I know, no. Nimmer.
Yes, sir.
Desiree.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Nimmer.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
A little story about Nimmer is he calls me yesterday because... He calls me. He's like, hey, I'm at the studio. I was like, okay, I'm still in Irvine. Like, I was so confused. And he's like, don't we do the podcast today? I was like, is it Tuesday? Like, it freaked me out because I thought that you could talk.
That was my team's fault. Sure. Apparently, they messed up the date. Told me it was yesterday.
But here he is.
So I came twice.
Yeah.
That's usually a good thing.
That's very sexy.
Oh, no, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very sexy. I came twice. I came twice to your show.
Oh, my God. It sounds cool. We should put that on our logo for this one. For this episode, Nimmer
came twice to our show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that will sell because the ladies will listen.
There you go.
Will they?
Yeah.
I don't. Are ladies? I mean... Would women always be like, oh, he came more than once? I'm so turned on. Isn't it usually the opposite?
No.
Because they want the guy not to come.
Not these days.
Oh, the whole back.
These days, it's a whole new...
Yeah.
Yeah, but these days, it's a whole new thing. They like it when a guy, like...
Has multiple orgasms?
Yeah, if you want to be filthy about it, yeah.
But, like, how soon, right? I mean, if you have multiple orgasms after, like, 30, 45 minutes, that's good.
That's good. That's good.
But if you have multiple orgasms before you got your pants off...
Not good.
Not good.
Well, you know,
those are the two extremes.
I can only speak from experience, and it's within 30 seconds.
Oh.
So it's amazing. You know what I mean?
That's 30 seconds more than my record.
No, yeah, me too. I can't do two. 2 and 30 seconds. I don't. That's a lot of steroids, right? I'm trying to get the subject to change, so I went from, you know.
I don't think the folks at home know who we're talking to yet because we haven't introduced
them. I don't think the folks at home know what's going on at home.
They've tuned in.
And I don't think they mind.
Yeah.
Well, I think the folks at home are like, we enjoy being the folks at home.
No, we have an amazing guest.
What's going on is I had no idea Alan Lee was a psychic.
and he's playing mind games.
Yeah, I'm very good at that.
It was weird because the other day we were talking to Dan Cummins about this, remember?
Yeah, Dan Cummings. That's the timing. I like that. Dan Cummings, and we're talking about.
I don't think he said it on purpose.
No, but I think the actual name is just, you know, it's psychic.
But we were talking about this superhero who can make people do things with their mind. And,
Yeah, like Professor X.
Yeah, like Professor X. Yeah, and then not only does he make me mess up the sponsors, then mess up your name, and then
there we go.
Yeah.
His powers haven't influenced me yet, though. Yeah, I have yet to mess up.
That's because you're human.
That's true.
Like, this is a mutant. I have autism. You're human.
Oh, there you go.
This is a mutant. I have autism. You're human. That's the title of your show. I'm sorry. That's the best thing. On today's episode, this is a mutant. I have autism, and you're a human.
Oh,
tune in to hear more.
Oh, this is
There is a wrong...
But no,
the creative juices are rolling. Now we're back to juices.
The 8 o'clock shows are so much funner.
Yeah, it's true. Look at this. We're alive.
We're alive.
Yeah. So would you like to address our guest here? Something relevant?
Special guest Robert De Niro today with us on the show. From the Middle East.
There you go. And Taxi Driver, what was that? Maybe you could do an impression. Remember Taxi
Driver? Oh, I am terrible at impressions.
No. Are you?
Sorry. Yeah.
Really?
I'm so not good.
I'm pretty bad at impressions, too.
I can do impressions of characters, but none that anybody... Like, I have my own character, but I don't have... I can't do an impression of an existing human being.
Can you do an impression of a dead existing human being, like Elvis?
That would still be an impression, though.
Yeah. But he's no longer existing.
Yeah. No, I can't do an impression of any human being that existed. Not that I can think of right now. I probably got a couple of okay impressions somewhere, but I mean...
See, the De Niro one was just, you're talking to me? Who, you talking to me?
That's but then you're just saying his line. I mean, it's not... You got to do the whole actual end of face.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do the thing they do when they...
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a double Stallone lip.
And doing the face here wouldn't be good because, like, I should have Facebook Lived it so we could see the...
That would have helped, but yeah. But none of us can do the impression. The impression anyway.
It would be awkward.
Yeah.
Tune in to our Facebook Live to see three grown men do a terrible impression of Robert De Niro as themselves.
Okay, but no, we should give you a proper introduction.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
I'd like to hear it.
Drum roll.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
Nimir.
But that's fine.
Boy, this is... I knew this was going to be...
No, we're doing it. We're doing a proper introduction, Alan. Nimir.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Close enough?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll take close enough. All right, Nimir.
Nimir. I know nobody's going to forget my name after this.
Nimir. No, he doesn't want his last name. He just wants Nimir.
Okay, I like
the
last name.
Yeah, I like the last name, too.
I don't. I dropped the last name.
Why do you? That was a question.
It's a long last name. The full name is okay. So you're having trouble remembering Nimir.
Yeah.
So imagine I had to hit you with Nimir Abu Nasar.
I could get Nasar.
Yeah, but what about the Abu?
Yeah.
It's when you put all three of them together, it becomes too long for most people. And then hosts want to bring me up on stage, and you know how every host tries to act like your best friends, right? Like, oh, I'm this guy all over the world. I love this guy. Give it up, my good friend, Nimir. Give it up, Larry. And it's just like, get up on stage. So I wanted to make it easy for everyone. Yeah. I just said Nimir. You know, it's a two Nimir. Sure. It's two syllables.
Nimir. I'm gonna get it by the end of the night, pal. I swear.
Oh, I couldn't. I honestly couldn't. I would don't mind at all. It means, by the way, it's Arabic. It means tiger in English.
Nice.
That's what I.
That's what my name means.
We had a question
that's
about that because
I'm a tiger.
Yeah, because when
a Chinese zodiac.
No.
Wait,
Fu Manchu.
I'm a turtle.
I don't know what I am.
No, you don't.
How do I know?
You can Google that, your Chinese zodiac, and it'll go by the year you were born.
Okay, hold
they
on.
They go by the year, like whatever year you were born, Chinese zodiac, and that will be your animal.
So if you're 33, you had to be born in
1983.
There you go.
I was going to say 83 or 84.
83.
In
Beirut, Lebanon.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's interesting.
It is.
Because you were born there, but then you moved to San Diego. Then you
went
back.
When I was two, we left because of the war there. Yeah. We didn't leave as refugees. We left as immigrants.
Right.
So we didn't have it too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like current day people are in Syria, for instance, but a lot of people did. Depended which area you're coming from. I'm Christian, so we lived in Christian areas, which at the time in 83 the war had just started to really creep in. It wasn't until 85 that the Christian areas were really hit hard in Lebanon, the Christian areas I was living in. So we got out earlier, and then I stayed in Lebanon in San Diego from 85. So this is before I was even two. Up until around 93.
Yeah.
Wow. And then my dad's like, we need to get back to Beirut where it's safe. So we left.
Because San Diego is dangerous?
I'm just being sarcastic.
Oh.
But my parents believed that it was too dangerous to raise children because they believed that America, and most ethnic parents believe that America is not a very safe place.
I can see that, yeah.
Because you're exposed to drugs. It's hard. Not everybody knows everybody. It's not like a really small community kind of sense. Yeah. In Lebanon, there's no kind of... You know, you don't have rape, murder, kidnapping. Women go out at 3-4 in the morning and party. Nobody's worried about anything. Cool. Yeah. But my dad always said, the only risk is war.
Sure.
Apart from that, everything's safe.
It's fine.
But he said, you know, war, you can hear war coming. But rape, it happens, it's too late. Yeah. That's my dad's explanation as to why. So I'm a pig?
Yeah.
All right,
it's
so
just,
my...
It's just...
1983 is the year of the pig.
Yeah. Oh. Which is a good sign.
That's a good sign.
A very good sign. Very intelligent, money-making people.
Yeah. Nimir, did I say it right? All right. Hey, Nimir, you want to hear?
I like the Nimir. It sounds so distinctive now.
Nimir, you want to hear an interesting fact?
Let's hear it.
I believe your sign is a pig.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're a psychic now? Wow.
He's a time traveler.
Oh,
he traveled into the past to bring it to the future.
Yeah, I got superpowers too, pal.
I can't believe this. I bet he can't believe this.
Ladies and gentlemen, witness.
But okay, so let's talk about because you're being. I don't know if you knew this because I told you this outside, but you're fascinated. But you're like considered the Richard Pryor of wherever your limb.
What's Lebanon?
Lebanon. You're like considered the Richard Pryor of Lebanon. Like that's.
I've never heard somebody put it that way.
Yeah,
that's a big honor.
Yeah,
and I appreciate it. Yes. And I'm going to. I'll just move forward. I'm not good at taking compliments, but that's very kind of you to say. But what I am considered is you see, back in the year 2000, I started stand-up comedy in Beirut and then progressively spread it across the Middle East. Beautiful. I've been doing it since 2000. So what I've done is I've established the entire industry across the entire region. So that included not only developing material, putting on shows, but also, you know, setting up the whole infrastructure from, you know, the theaters, the ticket
clubs,
sales,
the bookings,
the whole thing, agents. There were never any agents, never managers. So all of that, the culture, protecting ticket buyers, both ends of the spectrum, has been something I've been working on for 17 years now.
Man, amazing.
And, well, I think that's what they meant, because you have specials. You have like five or six, right?
I'm currently doing my eighth show.
Yeah.
And I filmed five specials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. I think I'd take that as a compliment that they are considering you to, you know. Because
no. What you said is very... something very that humbles me. I had no choice but to put out that many shows, because there was never any club you could go to work out 10 minutes of material. Every show I had to do had to be an hour and a half long, so that people paying their money could get their money's worth. So I was on a yearly basis, not only had to put out a new show, it had to be a completely new show, because going back to that comment about that sense of community, it's everybody knows everyone in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
So if you do a show and you repeat material, word spreads around like wildfire, and your reputation is done, and people are like, I'm gonna skip a couple of shows. I'll go see him again in 2-3 years. Luckily for me, the reputation spread like wildfire. Like Nimmer's show, each and every time is not only new, but it's actually so much better, and he grows so much between each show. And so that's where I get those nicknames, like Richard Pryor, King of Comedy, whatever. It's because of that the dual combination of a lot of shows, and according to people who've seen them, and by the thousands, really good ones, and according to my mom, the best ever. And then you have also setting up the industry itself and kind of pioneering that and trailblazing it, you know, in English in the Middle East.
Pioneering is a lot better than sailing.
So true.
True.
Pioneering. Because if you're sailing, you're riding somebody else's boat.
Yeah.
But if you're pioneering,
you're driving
the boats, the fleet, the whole deal. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's a point I like to say that.
I think you should be proud that they didn't say you're the Chris Kattan. No. And they're like, "What?" You're like, "Oh, that's a compliment." If you like movies like Night at the Roxbury. And
well, you know, I've just realized, since I'm struggling terribly, that at some point I could ask Nimir to book me somewhere in the Middle East.
Because that's awkward.
Powerful. He's powerful.
Yeah, he is powerful. But
you just have to get my name right, though.
Yeah, Nimir.
Yes.
Nimir will
book. Nimir and I will book you anywhere. It's that easy.
Yeah. But not Nimir. I will never ask Nimir. I will only ask Nimir. Thank you.
I'm just messing with you. It totally sucks that he said that, because you know Rosie Tran, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Rosie's like one of my best friends, and you know, we always said that if I have a sitcom, she's going to be my wife on it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, because you know she's married and stuff like that, but she's my wife on TV accounts. You know, anyways, so
that's
she
a weird fantasy where you're like with
hey, Rosie.
The girl.
No. I'm just
playing your wife.
Look, she's married.
She's married.
So she's off the market. But is she off the sitcom market? Is what he's saying.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that a viable point of entry?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd have to cogitate on that. Think about it for a while.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so she's like, you're the sweetest guy, and you know, you should like throw your name in and be like, you're available for work. You know, she's like Nimir. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
she's like Nimir is gonna love you. He's gonna think you're the funniest. He's gonna be like, oh, come overseas with me. You know, you just gotta be yourself. Be cool. I was like, all right, I could do that. And then Alan says, you want to book me? I was like, wait.
I'll listen. I've brought a lot of stand-up comics over to the Middle
East. I wasn't going
to
do it on there.
No, but I always try to bring more and more talent.
I was shameless.
What I liked about both of you is that you're eager to go. These days, what I hear from most people is, oh, the Middle East, I wouldn't go right now. And not knowing that unless you're going to Syria or Iraq.
Thank you.
It's actually so much safer than here.
Yeah, you know,
I did a show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Infinitely more dangerous than doing a show in anywhere in the
sure.
Middle East.
I can believe that. Yeah.
That was weird.
As long as you advertise me as a compared to Chris Kattan, we'll start talking.
Oh. Well, that's a very interesting point. Interesting point that he made about Chicago and the safety.
Oh yeah, Chicago is dangerous. I did Chicago, the Laugh Factory once when I went to go visit.
That's
my dad.
That's what I did as well.
Yeah, when I went to go visit my dad. And the crowds were awesome, but after a show, like when you sell stuff or something and you shake hands and stuff, you're like, oh my God, which one of these guys want to sell me cocaine or kill me? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's like very, very scary.
That's Chicago. I mean, the gang culture is there is strong. Sure. But I'm not hating on Chicago. No. I actually thought it was one of the coolest cities I've ever been to in my life. But all I'm saying is that it's funny. A lot of people, you know, you overhype situations sometimes. You don't understand the reality of it.
That's right.
But I don't blame America for that. I blame the Middle East. We don't have good PR at all. At all whatsoever. The worst in the world. But the fact of the matter is if you're fine going to Los Angeles.
Right.
If you're fine going to East LA at 1 in the morning and you think there's nothing wrong with it, then you can freaking go to the Middle East any day
of the happy.
Week
you're
and
happy.
Be very secure.
Very safe.
I should probably say this too, you know, I'm not hating on Chicago either. You know what I mean? I love Chicago. It's awesome.
What you said is the fact.
Yeah.
I mean that's the culture there. Yeah. And then if there's something that we've learned from hip hop, it's that gang culture. Yeah. Isn't necessarily something negative.
No. Yeah.
It is the reality. It's it is the way people deal with the reality that they've been. It's their economy. It's their wild, wild west. You don't hate on it.
No, it's just,
you embrace it. It exists. You understand it because there's a lot to learn there.
Yeah. The only thing I will say that I hate about Chicago is they gave the Knicks Derrick Rose.
Oh, that's.
No, I thought that would be a lot funnier.
I don't follow sports, so you I'm sorry.
I don't either. So you did
wrong. I just looked. I was like, I
was reaching for who that was. See, I don't follow sports.
I don't. This is weird. I'm trying to, but I've only been here for 3 years, and it's overwhelming.
There you go.
Okay, Derrick Rose was here.
See, I don't follow it either.
It's terrifying.
I'll give you guys a little 30-second update on him, Professor X. He's like, you're going to be funny, then not. Chris Kattan, a comic. So Derrick Rose was like the world's greatest basketball player. He got drafted by the Chicago Bulls, and then like he had like the worst luck, you know, because every year he won the MVP 1 year, and then after that he got hurt every single year.
Injuries.
Yeah.
Injuries.
So then they traded him to the Knicks, and I like the Knicks. And he's terrible.
Oh, so they got the Knicks.
So that's why I'm blaming Chicago.
Oh.
We understand.
Shouldn't you blame the Knicks, though, for taking the trade?
Oh, I definitely hate Phil Jackson, man.
Okay.
You know Phil Jackson?
I do know Phil Jackson. Mm. I know him very well, and I know that he's been getting a lot of hate recently.
Yeah, he's...
Like, it's become very on the surface.
He's terrible.
And the other day, somebody bashed... This is my sports knowledge. I read somewhere that somebody was bashing Phil Jackson, and while bashing Phil Jackson, he bashed some other player and then had to issue an apology.
Really?
Yeah, but I can't remember who.
It was probably Chris Kattan. Oh,
somebody on ESPN had to issue an apology, but didn't apologize for what they said about Phil Jackson, that he's that he's a terrible. Although Phil Jackson was a legend, wasn't he? I mean, back in the day during when he was coaching.
Well, yeah, but now he's like a general manager. Mm-hmm. It's totally different than being a coach.
It's kind of like
I mean, it's weird that this is being brought up, but it's kind of like being a publicist and a manager.
Mm.
You know, like if you're a manager and you become a publicist, that doesn't mean you're going to be a great publicist.
That's true. Right, true. You could be, but probably not necessarily.
You know, because you actually have to make the calls and stuff, you know, instead of collect the money.
Different skill set.
But if you're a publicist and you be a manager, you could be like the worst publicist but the greatest manager.
True.
You know what I mean? It's weird how that like flips out.
They're different professions.
Yeah.
It's like saying, you know, you could be a great doctor but a horrible
nurse.
Lawyer. MC.
Oh, yeah. That's
you'd make a great nurse, but a terrible Kendrick Lamar. The question of the day, should Kendrick Lamar be a profession? Because he's so high up on the level of his artistry and his craft. Is it fair to consider him one of the rest? Tune in for more on the... No,
on the Mutant Autism Humor.
Well, we don't kid around.
You know what's weird? It's like 5 minutes ago, you were talking about gangs, and I just thought of a cool gang joke.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Alan's not going to like it because he doesn't like my gang
jokes. I live in a gang area.
Because I'm too dangerous. You know what I mean?
I could tell. I feel that aura of danger.
Okay, but here's the cool gang jokes. Because you know how you were saying how gangs, you know, they help, you know, the world with history and all that stuff?
Not at all, but yes. Gangs help the world with history.
Interesting.
What?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Gangs, they're just history teachers.
Come
they
on.
They have a passion for history, and they really want you to learn. And when you don't, they bust a cap in your ass.
Ooh, yeah, man. I saw that movie, NWO or whatever.
NWO. Oh, yes.
Ice Cube. You know, I don't. Wait, is that even what they're called?
NWA.
NWA. I saw that movie. NWO was the wrestling.
That's right.
Yes, I saw that too. Anyways.
We'll get to that later.
See, so Rosie said he's going to love you.
He's never.
But,
so good.
Okay, but so my gang joke was this. A lot of gangs are awesome. You know, like I was in a gang once, and we were just hooking up with some chick.
A gang bang.
Oh, I knew you would get to the material.
I didn't expect you to like it.
You enjoyed that material so much.
But I expected him to like it.
Aspiring to a clean act and my mom and all this. And you always do that. Every while, I guess you find some way to...
Stop using your powers on me. That was a great joke.
It was filthy. And we have our guest.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying so hard to impress him. I haven't even done it.
I don't know what he's going to leave here with. I
haven't even done his introduction.
By the way, do people even... Hi, my name's Nimmer, for everybody tuning in. I'm a comedian. Oh, I do stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is this thing where you stand on stage.
You do,
and
huh?
You suffer.
Wow, I like that.
You suffer.
Speaking of suffering, we have to take a quick break so I can announce the sponsors.
There you go,
sponsors.
We'll sit back and rest. Go on to do it. Thank you.
All right. And then when we come back, we're going to do the fake Twitter questions.
Do it.
Okay. I'll explain the fake after... 1 second. We got to give a moment of silence. Hey, Rifters. This episode was brought to you by New Hope Therapy Center. New Hope Therapy Center is an autism therapy center with kids with autism. They help kids learn how to speak better and to conquer their dreams and know that their dreams are in reach. If you guys know about me, I have autism, I have Asperger's syndrome, and my dream has always been a stand-up comedian and make people laugh. And, you know, everyone else has a dream too. So that's what their goal is, to show that a dream is within reach. If you would like more information, you can email them at contacts@newhopetherapycenter.com. Again, that's contacts@newhopetherapycenter.com. And tell them you love them very, very much. Back to the show.
Very good.
Nailed it.
I did a lot better the second time.
Nailed it.
I like that.
Straight up.
I like that.
Should be proud.
Yeah, well, because I didn't have a whole book.
You know, I was watching one of Nimmer's bits.
Boom! Nailed it.
See, there you go.
We're on a roll. This second half.
Yeah, second half is
starting strong.
There you go. Because we had a question for our last guest. And the one where you say that you announce your dad that you're going to be a comic.
Mm.
And then he says, you know, oh,
you're going to be a clown. Mm-hmm.
And remember how we brought that up with the other guest about how he would feel if his daughter told him she wants to be a comic? Because you were talking about how, you know, everyone grows up thinking they're going to be a fireman or a construction or a doctor or a lawyer. And so what kid, you know, when he's 8 years old, picks up a mic and said, I found it. And so I thought it was funny that
I get what you're saying.
You touch on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the whole dynamic of the parent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's universal.
It is. I mean, I wanted to be a stand-up comic, honestly, since I was like 5.
There you go.
Yeah, same.
I used to tell people either a stand-up comic or a Ninja Turtle. That's what I used to tell everyone.
We actually have a Ninja Turtle joke from our fake Twitter questions.
For real?
Yeah. Do you know what fake Twitter questions are?
No, I'm guessing they're Twitter questions you made up.
No. These are actually real Twitter questions.
Oh.
But the people who tweeted them, I think they're fake accounts because their screen names are so weird.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I call them fake Twitter questions.
I'm down with that.
Because I'm not sure if they're real people.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like, you know,
assume they're fake before you verify their... I totally agree.
Yeah, because
the
like...
bots? I missed that.
Yeah, like...
So we have fake people asking good questions. If the questions are good, that's going to make me question our humanity.
Exactly.
Because if fake accounts...
No, that's
exactly, because there's a lot of fake accounts out there.
That's right.
True.
That's exactly right. I like
that's
that.
True.
Like, I get spammed with fake accounts all the time, and I'm like, are these real people? Like, I don't see Alan Lee saying, hey, meet me outside.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't participate like
that. Okay. Well, that's what the point of fake Twitter questions is. They're real questions.
Okay.
These are real 100% questions, but they...
Most
they,
likely fake
who knows
accounts.
Where they came they, from?
Yes.
Is that a way to put it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who knows?
They might. They might be fake accounts.
They might be fake. They might be really good at being fake.
And also, like, we want our guests to, like, feel comfortable. So, like, if any question is, like, too deep or whatever, you just say pass.
I highly doubt that will be the case, but go ahead.
You know, you just say pass.
Pass it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing it does, it makes you look weak. But
it
that's
does, it. Of course. Makes you look weak and insecure. Basically, you look, you're not a man. But I mean.
But you could pass.
But you could pass. Totally.
Okay, we'll start with the Ninja
it's
Turtle.
It's only your reputation.
Nimmer looks like he could pick up this table and twirl it around. For those of you who don't
but
know.
But I can't take a question, goddammit. I can kill a man, but I can't take a question.
It's like I could take a guy saying my name wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Too
right.
much pressure.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's hear it.
Attention is too much.
I just want you to know you do have... Okay. Okay, well, let's start with the Ninja Turtle question.
Okay. Pass. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well, here's a rule. You got to let me read
I'm
the,
kidding.
Okay. All
right.
This is from Blazing Tramp Fire.
Yeah, this stuff that sounds fake as hell.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Blazing Tramp Fire wants to know, of course, she can't say your name. She wrote it.
Yes.
Oh, it's a woman.
So if I say it wrong, it's technically
it's
her.
It's her, yes.
Blazing
of course.
Tramp.
Blazing Tramp Fire says, Nimmer.
Nailed it.
You nailed it, Blazing Tramp.
Fire.
Okay. You came out of your mouth.
Nimmer.
Yes, sir.
Which Ninja Turtles is your favorite, and would you have taken his job if you stuck with your dream?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Raphael.
Raphael?
Yeah.
I like Raphael.
Raphael is always my favorite because he's incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He could be the leader.
True.
Leonardo obviously is the leader because Master Splinter saw that in him. And because Master Splinter saw that in Leonardo and elevated him to the leader, I always felt Raphael was a bit of an underdog who had the skills, just lacked a bit of the discipline.
Ooh.
And I felt that in the mistakes that he would make if he was leader, that they would have a higher learning, a better learning curve. So that's been my belief. So I'm more of Raphael, plus I like his attitude.
Yeah. I like that.
You know what's weird about Raphael is the reason why he wasn't the leader was because he was the youngest. Mm-hmm. And he was actually...
In the story.
But he was also... Like, he was the stupidest because he was hot-headed, but he was the toughest fighter.
Toughest fighter.
He was, like, he could take on freaking 70-foot
soldiers by himself. He won't go down easy.
Yeah.
I like that fighting spirit.
Passion,
I like that passion, the underdog kind of thing.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I would choose Michelangelo because he's the funny, wisecracking guy. And I love.
Interesting. Yeah.
Michelangelo is hysterical.
That's right.
But
I love
having Michelangelo's the friend I want around.
Right.
Raphael's who I would want to be. Donatello is definitely somebody I would want in my life because he would make everything easier.
Sure.
Right. In terms of who I identify with, it would be Raphael. I think Leonardo's cool as hell, too. It's just the coolest cartoon and comic book. I have been collecting the new run of the comic book from issue one under the old writer, and it's unreal.
But I have a question. Do you think you could take on Raphael if you wanted to be a Ninja Turtle?
In my human form? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. In my human form, no. Unless I pulled some Batman, like, strategic shit. But apart from that, no. The guy's impervious to my blows won't do anything to
him. That's surprising because Casey Jones can.
Casey Jones is full of shit. He's using a hockey stick. When you said, can you take him? I thought man to man, no mask, fist to fist.
But that was a great one.
All right, good question. Thank you, Blazing Trampfire.
You remembered her name. I didn't have to.
Okay. Not hard to forget.
The tramp is the key.
The Trampfire.
All right, fake.
The tramp is the key. That would be a great line in a fairy tale movie. It's like, wait, how do I get to this destination? The tramp is the key.
Oh God! Oh. All right. Okay. This is a fake Twitter question number two. Okay. Tweaker Slut 73 wants to know.
Solid name.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's a good slut.
Yeah.
Not any slut. A tweaker slut. 93.
73.
What is
73?
Yeah.
So was she born in 73? Is she 73%? Fulfilled in her goal of being a tweaker slut?
Or is she 73?
I took it as...
Or is she 73? The question's about.
Yeah, I took it as she's 73% of the time high.
Also.
Oh.
Right?
Valid question.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyways. Tweaker Slut 73 wants to know, why the white tiger is happy. What does that mean? Why the white tiger? Oh, because you have a on the flyer your white tiger ad. It looks happy.
Oh, that's right. On your flyer, he has a
I think that's what
you mean. My logo, the tiger.
Yeah, the
logo,
yeah. The
well, because my name is Nimmer,
which
means which tiger.
Means tiger.
So that's why the logo is. It's not. If you take a look at that expression I had, that was actually done by a graphic designer, an artist in. Why is the name? Bangladesh.
Yeah. Huh.
And that was drawn. But it was I wanted the expression to be of somebody who's been through stuff,
sure.
So that when you look at that expression, it's like I've been through things, and that's why I'm telling you it's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be comforting. So that smile, it's not necessarily a smile more than it is a just a look of confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah.
That was actually a great question from a tweaker.
But, yeah. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. Some of the most intelligent people are tramps and tweakers and sluts.
And sluts. Uh-huh.
The tramp is the key.
I don't meet those ones.
The tramp is the key and the tweaker is the road.
Yeah.
I meet the ones.
But when I saw the logo, I thought I was like, this tiger's awfully happy. Like, I wouldn't be scared of it. You know what I mean?
I don't want you to be scared.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
That's not the point.
I don't want you to be scared of it.
I would want a happy tiger eating me. Than a real...
That would be better.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
In the long run.
Yeah, yes. Because he'd be like, ugh. You taste like
if you're, in the short term, maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like these questions. What's next?
Oh, yeah. You don't like it? Okay.
No, I like them.
Oh,
I'm saying, what's next? These are cool.
Okay. This is fake Twitter question number 3. You're going to laugh, but I swear this is a question.
Okay.
All right. And remember, you have the pass.
I have the pass.
You can pass.
Okay.
All right.
My pass now.
Crack Whore 69 wants to know.
Wow. Slut whore tramp.
You have a nice
really.
You have a nice base of followers here.
Yeah, well, I posted these questions in the escort ads.
Oh, for heaven's sake! Is that where they came from?
But no, I was going to say I think Twitter has a crack problem. Anyways. Crack Horror 69 wants to know, Dana Carvey was your favorite comic. Have you ever met or worked with him?
No.
That's actually a good question.
I haven't. Dana Carvey was more than my favorite comic. Because I don't know if you'd say he's my favorite. I don't have a favorite comic.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. But he was the comic that I first, when I was 5, memorized his set. There was these shows on HBO where he would bring up a bunch of comics. And he'd be the host and he'd do his little bit in between. And he had this bit about... George Bush Sr. throwing up on the Japanese president.
Sure.
And the whole... And I was 5. I didn't understand 90% of the joke. But something about it just blew my mind. I memorized it word for word, and I'd go around telling people I'm going to be a stand-up comedian or a Ninja Turtle. And then when they'd say stand-up comedian, you have to be funny, I would recite that bit.
Oh.
So for years and years and years... I even remember many of the key words from it, like when the Japanese president tells him you don't look so good, he goes, "You look like you're going to blow chunks." And then George Bush goes, "I'm feeling a little queasy." So he goes, "Might throw up on bar there." Could throw on the Chinese president. How's it going, Mr. Yakamaka Yaka? That's all I remember.
Oh my god.
I remember then he starts projectile vomiting and people are running around going, "Godzilla! Godzilla!" So I still remember it. So I think I've met a lot of celebrities and people that I've looked up to. I've never been starstruck, but I do believe that if I met Dana Carvey, I don't know if the term starstruck would work, but it would be a monumental occasion for me because of the impact it's had on my life.
Yeah.
I haven't met him yet, but the day that I do, I hope that it's under great circumstances because I'd like to be able to just absorb him.
Well, let me tell you something. You will meet him, and then when you do, you never know. He might say, "Hey, come work with me." Because that happens.
I'd ask if I could work with him. The thing is, it's like, despite what I've accomplished and I've achieved, I always feel like I don't want him to think I'm saying, if he ever hears this, that I'm saying he's old. I mean that he's like one of the protectors of it, like the elders.
Yeah.
And Dana Carvey is one of those comics that not only in stand-up comedy, but in sketch comedy and acting, if you take Dana Carvey out of the equation, we're looking at a totally different landscape today.
I totally agree.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Dana Carvey's one of the people that, love him or hate him, you can't remove him with a zero sum effect. There's no way.
Yeah, totally
and his agree. Impact was massive. So I don't think I'd ever ask if he'd work with me. I'd ask, would you be willing to come and do a show for Lebanon because it's the country where I was born, and it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. And if you would agree, I would definitely open for him. I do a quick 15-minute intro just to make sure everybody was quieted down to be able to enjoy such a great presence on stage, because I believe he should be...
That would be awesome.
He should forever be honored. I mean, there's nothing I can do in my lifetime that I think can ever outshine what he's done. And there's many people like that. But I think you notice I have a very... I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I mean, geez, who hasn't memorized every line from Wayne's World 1 and 2 as, you know, Garth? Yeah. Algar.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a big deal. And the SNL sketches.
It's amazing that he's known for the Wayne's World and the SNL, but, like, he got a lot of not so well amazement with Master of Disguise, and I thought that was his best one.
Master of Disguise was so good.
Yeah, that was excellent.
But that was a movie that I don't think was marketed properly.
Yeah.
And I think that was his biggest ailment. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the hype for it was in a different direction of what the movie ended up to be. Yeah, it's a tour de force.
Yeah.
And it's Dana Carvey. And his late... By the way, he just released a stand-up comedy special, another one recently on Netflix. Still incredible. 60 White Male, I think it's called, or something like that.
Oh.
Hysterical.
Oh.
Just, like, powerful.
Yeah.
Relevant. It's all there, you know? Sure. I mean, and that's what's amazing. He's done that comedy where he did, you know, the Dan Quayle impression, George Bush impression, which was hot during that time when people were looking as... that form of accessibility towards comedy, but he's been able to reinvent himself every single time.
Exactly.
I mean, who can say that?
Certainly not
very
Chris
few.
Kattan. But no, what
he's
I was going to say, Well, what I was going to say is,
thanks for the question.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that dream could actually come true, because my dream for, like, in your scenario was Norm Macdonald. You know, he was my favorite comedian, and I open for him every now and then. So, like, that.
How does that feel? Because Norm is another comic that, for me, is pretty much had the same impact as Dave, believe it or not.
Oh, dude. He's the best.
Nice guy.
I think he's the best comedian to ever walk the earth.
Definitely.
I think, you know, everyone says CK and Pryor. No, I was no, like, no, Norm no. beats them. If you
There's
know.
Something about Norm that is so different than any other comic out there.
Originality.
A. B. His gentlemanliness.
Yeah. Very gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a gentleman in the highest order. He's a philosopher.
Yeah.
His thoughts are very profound. And he's also, what I love about Norm is he makes you, okay, so I don't know if you know this. Obviously, I'm sure you know of Bill Higgs.
Yeah.
Bill Higgs, incredible, monumental figure, said
he was
something.
No, Chris Kattan, though.
No, nobody was Chris Kattan. He said something where he said the difference between stand-up comics and other public speakers, like politicians or religious people, is that politicians, religious people beg people to come see them.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's for free.
Exactly.
He said stand-up comics are the only people that people give them money. And I love this. He didn't say they pay them to hear them talk. He said they give us money, and they giving us money and saying, make us listen.
Yeah.
Sure.
Make us listen. And I think that hook is so different than just saying paying to go watch somebody entertain us. They want you to make them, your whole life, your whole persona has to be structured around somebody that people would listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that means a whole way of life. It's kind of like a martial art. And for me, Norm Macdonald is that martial artist.
Yes. Yeah,
he carries himself on and off stage as somebody who has tenets and principles. I mean, his dislike of large theaters because of the love for the intimacy for the small clubs.
Yeah.
That's like somebody saying, I prefer to fight in this style because it's more difficult.
It's a very purist.
Right? It's a purist. And that takes dedication, because Norm Macdonald could sell out a theater any day
easily.
Of the week.
Yeah.
Any day of the week. And not a theater, multiple theaters, if he chose to. And even when he did his recent Netflix special, which is beyond genius, he still was Norm Macdonald.
Yes.
It didn't rub off on him. Or when he did that bit with Jimmy Fallon. There's something that he did on Jimmy Fallon that I loved. And then he came back. He did that bit where he's reading from the sequel to his book.
Yeah.
And it's just something he wrote, obviously, on the spot. And he's talking as if he's writing, but what's literally going on at the moment. And then he goes, that old lump of coal. Or no, he goes, stone-faced Jimmy Fallon. Could it be possible that I got him to laugh? So he's obviously making fun of the fact. The next time he's on the show, this is Norm.
Yeah.
The next time he's on the show, he goes out of his way to say, after Jimmy Fallon compliments him, he doesn't say thank you and just sits there like any other guest. Sure. Like, yeah, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
He turns around to Jim and he says, also, I take a lot of inspiration from you because I always look up to people who are able to extend so much love to others.
That's nice.
Yeah. And I mean, he doesn't need to do that, but he does it and it's genuine. He's not saying it to kiss ass. He's not doing it. It's a very good observation. And yeah, I made fun of you for laughing too much or whatever because I'm a comic. But he's making it clear to everybody that Jimmy still has a huge likability, and he's the only one who pointed it out. It's not because he does impressions. It's not because he does this. It's not because he's talented. His likability comes from the fact that he's able to extend love to so many people. It's selflessness. And Norm has that ability.
Yeah, he's, I agree. He's, like I said, I mean, I love him to death. I think of him as my comedy dad, you know? And a lot, you know, there's some Norm in me on my comedy because I've worked with him and I followed his career.
That's incredible.
But I totally agree with that. The thing is, that's the type of comic I want to be. And I'm sure deep down that's what you want to be too. You want to just make people happy.
You want to make people happy and you want to stand for something.
Yeah.
Right?
There's not a lot of comics, they say they do stand up for money and stuff. But it's like, you know what? Yeah, money's fine. But I'd rather...
No, I don't do it for money. Yeah. I mean, look, if I was doing it for money, I wouldn't come here because I was in the Middle East. I'm making a lot of money. I don't pay taxes. I own my own house. I don't come here. The rent is ridiculous. Yeah. There's money everywhere. I'm coming here to... I came here to do what nobody's been able to do before, to prove to the world that conflict is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that you've been so misled that you've come to believe that there's a world that exists that in no shape, manner, or form actually exists.
Sure.
Because I've lived in Europe, I've lived in the Middle East, and I've lived in America.
Yes.
I've lived. I haven't visited. I've lived.
Sure.
And the similarities between the three people are ridiculous. And then you come and you take a look at what people are saying. And instead of me preaching, I figured if I can tell the same joke in Saudi Arabia, Beirut, Los Angeles, Oklahoma, Nashville, Chicago, London, Paris, and it crushes everywhere, point proven.
Universal.
You don't need to preach.
Mm-hmm.
You just make everybody laugh at the same joke, and that basically nothing more powerful than that to say that you all have a lot more in common than you've been led to believe.
Human condition, universal.
We actually just got the light, which means we have to light up.
Me?
I'm serious.
This is a hoot.
This was so fun.
We were having a good time.
I didn't even get to the introduction.
No.
You know, for a moment, he's, you know, for a moment.
I'm a streaker slut.
But no, did you like the fake Twitter questions?
I love the fake Twitter questions. That's phenomenal.
That's a great bit because they're actual real questions.
Yeah, we were a little.
But I think the usernames are fake.
Those are some of the smartest questions I've ever been asked. So I don't.
He's saying it truthfully.
I'm serious.
I'm serious.
No, because usually the questions I get asked is it difficult to make people laugh?
Oh,
what's it like in the Middle East? Have you ever been afraid? Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But nobody comes and asks you an actual artistic question.
I don't like. See, that's what I try not to do. I don't like to ask the same questions, you know.
No, I appreciate it, man. I actually thought this was one of the best podcasts I've ever been on. This was hilarious. It was a lot of fun. I hope you guys will have me back again.
It was of course.
Love to.
You just made Professor X happy. He's grown hair.
He needs to fix the mustache. It's grown out.
You have to shave it.
It's grown out.
And I'm telling you right now.
Well, okay, I got to say this right. So, Namir. Is that right?
Dude, you can say it however
you
want.
Namir.
It's Nimmer, but go ahead.
Oh. Rhymes with dimmer.
Dimmer, simmer.
So, Namir. Namir.
Nimmer.
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 Nimmer. In all seriousness, Nimmer, where can the folks at home find you?
So, the best and easiest way to do it is just head to my website, which is nimmercomedy.com.
There you go.
So, N-E-M-R.
I went there.
Thank you. If you can't spell it right, just put Lebanese stand-up comedian.
There you go. Boom.
I'm the only one. That's I'll pop up. Go to my website
Richard Pryor of comedy.
Richard Pryor of comedy. Beautiful. You'll find all the links for my social networks there, and I post the shows that I do.
Schedule.
I actually follow you on the Twitter.
I'm Twitter. So I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of it. It's Nimmer Comedy.
Yeah. You should follow me back.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah. I'm going to, if not, I'll rectify that right now, but I'm pretty sure. RZA Rifts, here it is. Am I following RZA Rifts podcast?
No, follow Keith RZA. RZA. Yeah,
I already follow Keith RZA. Oh, no, I don't. Now I follow you. I'm sorry. I actually thought I did.
On Facebook, you have too many friends. Is Nimmer?
Actually, no. I'm not following that many people.
Oh, then
for real.
I can friend you.
What's your Twitter, sir?
No,
crack whore 69.
That's me. I wrote those. Thanks a lot. Thank you. It's Dr. Heckle, like D O like I think it's unique. It's a D O K T O R, like doctor, He knows. He's living in Europe.
Okay.
Heckle like you heckle somebody.
Oh, I thought like, oh, that's actually really smart.
Yeah. All right, so follow Namur on the the social media. Yeah,
that's really
and his
smart.
Website. Alan's going to New York next week. We got to wrap this up because Sam's waving at me. I'm
We're
doing
having too much fun.
I know.
They're not used to that.
The only thing the only thing I got going on is I'm headlining the Ranch in San Miguel on Wednesday.
Very nice.
Yeah. What are you doing Wednesday?
Nothing. Tonight, if people want to head down to Flappers, I'm there. And on Friday and Saturday, I'll be at the Laugh Factory.
Let's talk after the show. Oh, very nice. Okay, and then this episode was brought to you by New Hope Therapy Center. It's a great center. They help kids with autism and, you know, injuries like stroke or brain injury. They help you talk again and stuff. It's something that the world really needs, you know. And I think it's a great organization. And it's New Hope Therapy Center. If you want more information, you could contact them at contacts@newhopetherapycenter.com. Again, that's contacts@newhopetherapycenter.com. And this is Razor Riffs, and it was an honor to meet you, Pat.
The honor and the pleasure was mine. Thanks for having me, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nimmer.
Thank you.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.